I'm going to be looking at the second book of Peter. And I think this is so necessary, the age that we're moving into. First Peter, Peter the Apostle, was writing a letter to a group of churches because he was concerned that they were about to go into being persecuted as a church. And he wanted them to be strengthened and prepared for the persecution that they were going to go through, because ultimately, a few years after that, he was killed and martyred for his faith. But 2 Peter has a little bit of a different tone. 2 Peter was more to teach the people to beware of some of the false teachings within the church. You know, you would really hope that you could go to a church and that the teaching that you got was proper. But there is a lot of churches today that have stepped away from God's word, and it's a dangerous thing, that it becomes their teaching rather than God's teaching. And what Peter points back to is God's word here. This is where we need to look at. This is what we need to understand. I would hope that if I start teaching things that are not correct, false teachings, that there would be enough people that would rise up and say, wait a second, that's not right. That you would know the word of God well enough that you would be able to confront me the second that I started teaching something that was not biblical. And so I hope that we understand that not only do we have a struggle from outside the church, but in many times we have struggles from within the church. We have other people from other churches and even possibly within the church that's telling us things that are in God's word that's not in God's word. We do not need to get our theology from sitcoms. We do not need to get our theology from people talking about God's word. We can get what we need to know from God's word. It's as simple as that. And if we don't understand God's word, we can very easily be led astray. And so I think what he talks about is the title of what he has in this passage is making one's calling and election sure. To know in whom you believe and to know that you can have confidence in that and know that you can grow in your faith because you are being fed from God's word. So I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 11 out of 2 Peter chapter 1. Before I do so, let's ask God to help us understand his word. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have for us. Lord, that you teach us how we can come to you. You teach us what we need to do to continue to grow in you. Lord, that we would be able to have all the things that you desire for your children. Lord, that we'd be able to live with peace, we'd be able to have joy in those tough circumstances, that we would know what the truth is. Lord, that we would be able to find out what the lie is. Lord, I just thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you for preserving scripture that we could know who you are and know what you'd have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have three things I want to look at in this knowing and growing sermon. The first one is a precious promise. The second one is a process. And the third one is a promise. The first one is from verses 3 and 4, the precious promise. And very simply put, the precious promise that we have from God is within the Word. God has something for you, and if you never look at it, you'll never know it. You're going to be able to accept anything but the truth if you don't know the truth. We need to know the truth, especially as we live in a society that's teaching us anything but the truth. You don't need to get your source of information from your friends. You don't need to get it from online sources. You don't need to get it from even television. You can get it from the source. This is a precious promise that he's referring to. And he says there's two things about the precious promise. One is by knowing the precious promise, we can participate in the divine nature. With the precious promise of God's word, we are being called to participate, to be part of God's plan. Isn't that a wonderful thought? In a world where things are so crazy, we have been called to participate with God's perfect plan. That's the first thing that we see that we can know by the precious promise. And that very first thing that we can need to do is to come to know Jesus Christ. It says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We've been indwelled by the Holy Spirit if we know Jesus Christ. That is that birthday. That's when we come to know Jesus Christ. That's when we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, is when we allow him to indwell us. I believe that can happen at baptism, but many times it happens at other stages of somebody's life, that we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. That word is justification, where we come to know Jesus Christ for the first time. Just like all these kids that could name their birth dates, and they knew when they were born, many of us can look back and know that time where we came to know Jesus Christ. Mine was between 7th and 8th grade at a Bible camp that a pastor called. My heart was burdened. I went forward and I accepted Jesus Christ. I named that date as the time where I came to know Jesus Christ. And I came to know him at that time. And that was my time of justification. That was a time the Holy Spirit entered my life and my eyes were open to what God has for me. In John 14, 16 through 17, it talks about that Holy Spirit. And that time of justification when we come for the first time to Jesus Christ. It said, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. When we are justified, when we come to Christ, when we ask forgiveness for our sins, when we recognize our need for him, and we allow him to come into our lives, we are justified and we have been given new life. That's where it begins. That's where our spiritual life begins, at that very moment. And the Holy Spirit indwells us, and then we can participate with the divine nature of God. You can be part of the plan. You can be part of the plan that God has for everything. You can join him. You can be part of it. And it's open for every one of us. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. If you've never come to Jesus Christ, to understand that he's continuously knocking. He continuously gives you opportunities to hear. He continuously says, are you ready yet? And many times we keep saying, no, not yet. I pray that we don't put that off anymore. He wants you to participate with the divine nature. The second thing we see in that precious promise, one, we can participate in the divine nature, but two, it says we can escape the corruption of the world. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is with you is greater than he who is in the world. We do not have to fall into that trap. We don't have to go to that miry pit. We don't have to go to that dark spot. We've been given something much more. When we have the precious promise, when we have Jesus Christ, we are part of the divine nature and we don't have to keep jumping in the mud with Satan. He's given us something greater, so we don't have to fall in that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a verse that I struggle with because I continuously struggle with sin. And not just sin, but things I do that I know I shouldn't do. But this verse helps me. It says, no temptation is overtaking you but what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out. Every time temptation comes in your life, He provides a way out. He always helps you because you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You have those eyes going, I can get out of this situation. But many times we don't take it. But we don't need to live in that. We have been given an escape route. So two things we see in God's word. One, we can participate in the divine nature, which starts with our justification. The second thing is we don't have to live in the world, in the worldly sin anymore, even though we have to reside here. The second part is a process, the sanctification. Now that you come to know Christ, as that little baby, as Mel, that little baby, as I held up here in my, well, in the other sanctuary now, in my arm, just this little tiny girl, we've seen that she has grown up. It's a natural thing. After you are born, you should grow. What scares me is when somebody doesn't grow. If Mel was 10 years old and she hadn't changed, her parents would be concerned. The doctors would be concerned. Everyone would be concerned. But how many times we as Christians have allowed people just to stay right where they're at and don't expect any type of growth? That growth is what we talk in the faith as sanctification, becoming more holy. It's a process. I'll never be holy. Wendy, amen. I'll never be holy. I'll probably never pick up my underwear. I'll always be a slob. I'm trying. Not hard, but I'm trying. But we all have things. It's a continuous process. And God doesn't expect me to be born and then know everything and do everything. He knows it's going to be a process for me. But the process needs to continuously be happening. We need to measure ourselves. I think it's great that we're coming to the end of another year. You can ask yourself, where are you at with your spiritual walk now than you were last year at this time? Have you grown in your faith a little bit? Have you grown more accustomed to who God is? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to change from within? Or are you the exact same person? Or maybe you've gone backwards. We need to check ourselves. The process, the sanctification. Verses 5 through 7. For this very reason, make every effort. That word effort means on your part. Something we need to do. We can't save ourselves, but we can certainly make the decisions to help us grow. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and mutual affection love. Are you adding those things in your life? Do you love a little more this year than you last year? Or do you have more self-discipline this year than last year? Have you have more knowledge about God this year than last year? Are you growing in your faith? The process. It says make every effort. This is where it requires some things on our part. We don't do anything to save ourselves, but then the growing process, certainly we need to. A baby does nothing to be born except for having a lot of pain for their mother. But that baby then has to grow, has to go decide to eat later and grow and continues to grow. Just like us, we need to make every effort. And it says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not looking for perfect Christians. He's just looking for Christians who are growing. Are you growing? Has your life changed? Nick, I've seen so much in you, you heathen of 4 years ago. Getting married to my daughter, that little girl, when she was probably in that picture, you were probably 30 years old. But when I met you, when you started dating my daughter and you just started having these questions and to see you grow and just have such a desire to know God's word, that's been wonderful to see. Have you had a bigger... What are you saying, Sarah? You can't believe I just said that? You should come up to our house for lunch if you want to hear a real ribbon. No, but we need to possess these things in a growing quality. Are you growing in your knowledge? Do you have a desire to know more about God's word? Or are you just plateaued? Or maybe you're even going backwards. God doesn't want perfect people. He wants people who are just growing every year a little bit more. If you possess these things, qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. I'll tell you, ineffective and unproductive always leads to depression and despair. If you're depressed a lot, if you're in despair a lot, it's maybe because you've plateaued somewhere in your spiritual walk. Maybe you're no longer becoming productive anymore. Maybe you've just settled. That's a dangerous spot to be. As a kid growing up, if they just settled at a certain age, that would be a depressing thing. We need to continue to grow spiritually. You will not be ineffective. You'll not be unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing that says there, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Peter, a little bit later in chapter 2, 22, says, of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. I hate to say it, but I see this with a lot of believers. We come to know Jesus Christ and everything's fine, then we fall away. You know, this is where I do not believe with some of my brothers and sisters around the world about eternal security. As you see this in 2 Peter, it talks about falling away. And I pray that we are not that type. If you've known the truth and you walk backwards, you'll be depressed. You're like that dog returning to its vomit. You've had something much better, and now you return. You're like that pig that's been washed and goes back to wallowing in mud. And I can't say I've never done that, but I recognize that it's not right, and we need to continue to grow. The process, that's sanctification. And then think about the promise here in verse 10 and 11. When we are growing in our faith, the sanctification, we are reassuring ourselves that the call on our lives is solid. You know, sometimes we can doubt if there's a God. Sometimes we doubt and things like that. But when we are growing in our faith, we will be assured of that. Sarah, you saying yes to that Monday night Bible study? I got to believe studying and preparing for that has been the best growth for you. When you step up and say yes to God, let me do this, even though I don't think I'm qualified, that's when God will really use you. And we need to understand that we need to step out and be used by God. We need to be growing in our faith. Then we are reassuring ourselves about our lives with God. It gives us two reasons in that promise. One, it says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And that's talking spiritually here on earth. That's talking about our day-to-day walk, that we will be confident that there is a God, no matter what comes our way, whether or not we're in the hospital room being told we have stage 4 cancer. Whether or not we have death of a loved one, no matter what, we will not stumble because we understand that God is still ultimately in control if we are walking with Him in an increasing manner every day. Will it hurt a little bit? Certainly. Will it cause us to be shaken a little bit? Yes. But we will never fall. I'll tell you, when you see somebody go through something tough and they don't fall. See Fred Rash, we told that he has to have open heart surgery and he stands firm through that time. He has peace through that time. Why? Because he's been growing in his faith. So that news from that doctor saying we have to do open heart surgery did not make him fall. Shaken? Not much. Fall? Certainly not. He's been standing firm, and God can do that same thing for you. But ultimately, the reason too in verse 11, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just think about every one of those apostles. They were all martyred for their faith, and they all stood up strong right to the end, never saying no to God. They stood because they were growing. They believed in what they knew. And that's what God has for you. If you know Him and you're growing in Him, nothing will shake you because ultimately you know that God has a home. You will not question that, and you will not doubt that. Think about the parables, the parable of the talents. where the man with five talents goes and works, that's a sanctification process, and brings back five more. The one with two talents has taken two, and sanctification in his life, using what God has given him, and brings it back, and God says the same thing to both of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that we will hear someday? That no matter what we happens here on earth, that God has a home prepared for us in heaven. So two reasons, he'll keep you from stumbling, and two, he has a home for you in heaven. Well done. So the big question for you this morning is simply this. Is your life being affected by knowing and growing in Christ? And are you and others able to see the difference? You know, I see the difference in so many of you spiritually. I see how far you've come, sometimes as couples, sometimes as individuals, but I've just seen God use so many of you. I continue to encourage you to continue to sanctify, to continue to grow, that you can understand these promises, that you will never stumble, and that you'll know that you'll receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for who you are. I pray that you'd help us understand that your promises are rich for each and every one of us. Allow us to stand in that increasing manner. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.